One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by BetterHelp. You guys, listeners, get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/ghost stories. That's BetterHelp.com/ghost stories.
Today on another frightful episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, when a new family takes ownership of a home that had been occupied for decades by another family, they soon realize that maybe they are not alone, that this is not a haunting of the horrifying variety. Rather, protective spirits still looking out for whoever calls their beloved former residence home. That story and more today on this chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, we'd absolutely love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you'd like access to our bonus episodes, EPP bonus episodes, the advanced episodes, all that stuff, all of it commercial free, check out ghostpodcast.com or go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/realghoststories or search for Real Ghost Stories Online there. You get access to all of it there as well. $5 a month is all it is. You get the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories ever when you check that out. It's Tony and Todd with you on today's episode. Oh, the program. What's going on?
Robert Stack seems to get better and better every week. Are you working on that?
No, it's just there's no change to the audio. I just think I've been watching a lot more Unsolved Mysteries, so my brain thinks in Stack when I'm writing them. I can just how would he say this? Like I read a little bit of the story and I'm like, okay, well, how would Robert Stack present that? And so I'm just kind of, you know, it's my hands are just to type and and through Robert Stack.
It's amazing. Yesterday, I had some friends over for like a late lunch kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I got rid of cable a couple of weeks ago, so I don't get anything but the free apps for the most part.
Yeah.
And so I threw on the Unsolved Mysteries channel.
Yeah.
And everybody was like so into it. It's like nobody was talking for like a whole half hour.
It's a great show. I mean, yeah. It's one of those. Now, have you gotten into the remake of it?
I saw the first couple. The first one freaked me out so bad. Yeah. It took me time to get back into it. But yeah,
it's darker than the original. And yeah, certainly more graphic. I was impressed with it though. I liked it. I mean, it's weird not having, a host, but they do a really good job with the people telling their stories the way that Robert would.
I think it's good in a way that they don't have a host because then you'd be constantly comparing that person to Robert. And this way there is no host. The stories are just told, but I think you're right. It is quite a bit darker than the original.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. And no one ever liked the replacement host that they had for him for a while either.
I know.
I don't even remember what his name was. It was just like, yeah, don't do this. this is just a bad idea. It's like after the same with America's Funniest Home Videos. I'm like, after Bob Saget, I was done. I'm like, nope. I'm good. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's get into our first story of the day. It says, when I was a child, from birth to about age 13, I lived in a one-floor rental home with my parents and little brother. Only basement was only partially finished. My parents had an office space set up down there, as well as a laundry room. Bookcases lined the walls, and there was a furnace room, which I never dared enter. Overall, I always got an ominous vibe down there. Felt like something was lurking, watching me. I got the sense that something would be following me up the stairs when I ran back up to the main floor. Anyway, one night, when I was about 7 or 8, I was lying in bed trying to fall asleep. Suddenly, I was overcome with a feeling of dread and fear. I heard something in the hall next to my room. As far as I knew, my brother, who was a toddler at the time, was fast asleep in his room. My parents were in the living room watching television. I somehow mustered up the courage to get out of my bed to investigate the sounds. I opened the door just a little and poked my head out. All the lights were still on, but what I saw when I peered down the hall made my blood run cold. In utter disbelief, I was looking right at some sort of figure. It was more than black. It was blackness, as if all the light had been sucked out of it. It almost looked person-shaped, except there were no distinguishing features. Naturally, I was terrified. I ran straight back to my bed, hid under the covers, and hoped that whatever it was wasn't coming to get me. I don't remember if I thought about it the next morning or in the days earlier, but I eventually put it out of my mind. I don't think I ever looked down the hallway at night again. Weird things would happen in the house every once in a while. There were frequent, deafening crashes in the middle of the night that would wake me. I think someone had broken in. The next day, though, nothing was out of place. Nothing had been broken. There was no sign of anything that could have caused such a loud sound. Well, everyone was asleep in their beds. I'd hear my dad get out of bed sometimes to check things out, but he always ended up shuffling sleepily back to bed, muttering to my mom that it was nothing. I never dared ask about it. A few years after the hallway figure incident, my little brother was about 4 years old. We were playing and watching cartoons in the living room before dinner. I borrowed my dad's old camera to take a few pictures and was happy to discover that there was a roll of film inside. Must have been wintertime because we were wearing sweatsuits and it was already dark out. Eventually, we got the pictures developed. This was back in the 1990s when you had to wait a week to collect your photos at the corner pharmacy. Excitedly, I flipped through the pictures when they returned. I paused at one, though. It would confuse and haunt me for years. It was one I had taken that evening in the living room. My brother was posing on the left side of the photo. The TV was on. A still from one of our cartoons had been captured, but something else was frozen in time, too. On the picture's right-hand side, an imposing, large, black mass that covered most of the side of the room. It looked just like thick black smoke swirling at the edges and converging into one big dark thing. For a long time, I racked my brain, wondering what on earth it could be. We had a functioning fireplace, but it hadn't been used when the picture was taken. The cause wasn't my finger either. Also, a curious thing was that none of the other pictures on the roll had it. To this day, I wonder if it was related in any way to the ominous black figure I saw in the hall years prior. Right before I started middle school, my parents finally bought their first house, so we moved away. For many years, even as an adult, I had reoccurring dreams, nightmares really, about being in that old house. Someone would always be trying to break in, and I was afraid. Still dream of that place occasionally, except now I'm on the porch, waiting for someone to open the door. Maybe I finally moved on. I wish I still had the photo with the dark, smoke-like thing. Maybe I'll come across it again someday in my parents' belongings. I hope you enjoyed my spooky story. I love listening to the podcast while I'm washing the dishes or cooking. Thank you for that. Thoughts on that?
Always freaky. And what is it about like old roll camera film and stuff like that, where you got some of the weirdest stuff that, you know, and yes, there's doubled exposure. There's all sorts of things that can go on. But I feel like in the digital age, we don't get quite as much evidence like we used to on just good old film. I think there's a difference with it.
Well, I think we get more volume of evidence, but it's the quality versus quantity. Yeah. Where there's more stuff out there, but I swear to God, 98 out of 100 photos that I see or are sent to me or are posted, I'm looking at going, what do you see in that?
Right.
And it's like, well, if you're on that ghost hunt and there's something odd in a picture, you're going to definitely, you're going to naturally want to say, that's something. But I don't know. So many times I'm like, I don't see shit on half of these photos. Like, or it's in a very obvious, like, that could be anything. I don't know, like, why I would feel that that one thing is specifically a ghost. But I think back when it was film, there did seem to be it felt clearer. I mean, granted, you had a lower resolution, but it felt like things were more, there. Like when it showed developed. Up, it was good.
Like they were more developed.
Yeah. Yeah. It would stand out more. You're exactly right. Obviously, with stuff with investigating, a lot of it's focused on, audio and things of that nature. What is your opinion on that? I mean, do you ever use a film camera versus a digital or anything like that?
I really never have, only because it's so hard to find, good ones that are in working condition. Sure. And who wants to wait, like they said, wants to wait for film to be developed when you can look at it right then and there? So, I've never really gotten a ton with digital cameras, here and there, a few pictures and stuff like that. But certainly digital video cameras and digital audio, always catching stuff on there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Plus just finding the film anymore and how expensive, film would be, because if you're used to like snapping a couple hundred photos on an investigation, if you're doing that with film, that would be a lot of money. A lot. Yep. And then the time to let's take the film out and load the next one. I think that would be a funny one to do, like where you present like a film camera to like someone who's like 21 and has never used one versus digital. And just like, here, figure this out.
It might be fun to go on an entire ghost hunt and do everything analog, like the film, like an actual cassette recorder, stuff like that, just to see if the evidence does come back a little bit different.
That would be interesting. Or what if you had like a group where you had two people using all digital, two people using all analog? And see,
there you go.
Be interesting. Hey, let's talk about this for a second. And let me just kind of start by asking a question. How are you doing? Are you feeling okay? Is everything, could you use a little, sometimes an extra voice, extra mind to kind of help you get through the week, the day, the hour? I get you. BetterHelp has helped me, and they can help you too. This podcast being sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Relationships take work, especially the most important one, which is the one with yourself. A lot of us will drop anything to go help someone that we care about. Go out of our way to treat people well, but how often do we do that for ourselves? How often do we just kind of like go, provide, and then, it's time for bed, time for sleep. Do it again. A little bit back to you. You only can keep going if you got the fuel. And that's where this can help. This month, BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you that you matter just as much as everyone else does. And therapy is a great way to make sure you show up for yourself. It is very true. I believe everyone should be in therapy personally, because I think it can just help with growth. We're all growing. We're all trying to become the better, best version of ourselves. And there's no limit to that. BetterHelp can help you get there. Something's stressing you out, something you're, concerned with, something you're working through, life changes, this, that, whatever. BetterHelp is online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Give it a try. See why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp Online Therapy. This podcast, sponsored by BetterHelp, and Real Ghost Stories Online listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/ghost stories. That's BetterHelp.com/ghost stories. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next letter. It says, hey guys, recently found your show, became an instant fan. I figured this would be a great place to share my story that not only spanned many years, but across the United States. Let's start with saying that I have sleep paralysis. I've had it since I was a child. And of course, it was terrifying. But as I learned, it was what it was. I became less afraid of the episodes as they went by. The first strange or paranormal experience with this happened when I was about 13 or 14, I think. I was sleeping on my parents' couch in the family room when my eyes opened and I was fully awake. Noticing that my body wasn't moving, I knew what was going on. I calmed my mind and prepared to fall asleep when I got a strange feeling. I decided to try to sit up, and it worked. As I sat up, I looked to my side and saw myself lying there asleep, and I realized I was no longer in my own body. Around this time, I was already deep into the paranormal and knew I was having an OBE. I wasn't scared due to me knowing what was going on, so I stood up and walked from the family room down into the living room. From the living room was a hallway that led into the dining room. I looked down the hall and it looked a lot darker than it should. Then I realized it was a lot darker in the house than it usually was. There were street lights outside, so it shouldn't be that dark. I decided it would be a good idea to try to turn on a lamp. Every time I tried, it would not turn on, and I saw down the hall it was starting to get darker. The darkness was getting closer. Then I decided to go back to my body. So I went back to the couch, sat down, looked at the closing darkness one more time, and lay down. As I re-entered my body, I sat up and looked around. The ambient lighting was the way it was supposed to be. All my surroundings were exactly the way I saw them as I moved about the house. I looked around and smiled and said to myself, "Cool." Let's skip ahead about 5 or 6 years. I moved out, living in Seattle with my girlfriend at the time. One night, my eyes open, and once again, I know what's going on and go through the process of falling back to sleep when I get the feeling that someone is staring at me. I look around, just being able to move my eyes, when I look at the door of my apartment and see a tall male figure standing at the doorway. He was tall, thin, and wearing a long coat and a top hat. Wouldn't make out any features due to it was very dark, but the figure was darker than the darkness, and sitting next to him was a cat. Neither one of them were doing anything except watching us. I shrugged it off and fell asleep. A few years later, during an episode, I woke up and realized that it was dark, and it was very dark. I knew it was impossible because I lived in the heart of downtown Seattle, and one wall was a giant window. It was never dark in my apartment. I then heard the door to the apartment open slowly, someone walk in, and very slowly close the door. The intruder was not in my line of sight. I was asleep on my side facing my girlfriend and her facing me, but I could hear their feet on the linoleum floors walking from the hall to the kitchen to the bathroom. Taking note of my surroundings, I saw that my clock said it was 2:30 a.m., and that there was a battle axe I got for my birthday at the head of my bed. So, as the figure wandered around that half of my apartment, I felt like I started getting to feel back in my body. I knew what I had to do, jump, grab the axe, and attack and protect me and my girlfriend. So I got myself pumped mentally, counted to three, jumped up, reached for the axe. When I got to the point, my eyes would blink and I'd find myself staring at my girlfriend in my starting position again. Looked at the clock, saw the time had passed. This was happening in real time. So I would try again and again and again, and every time I ended up in my original position. Whatever this was preventing me from attacking it. Time had passed, and it was now 3:30 in the morning. The figure had now moved to the bed and into my view. She looked old and hunched over like it was dressed in rags, with a long curved beak and a shawl covering its head. It was darker than the dark in the room. I stared at it. I knew it was looking at me. I couldn't move my mouth, let alone speak, so I spoke in my mind and said, "I know you can hear me. And I know what you're doing, but eventually I'm going to get out of this bed, grab the axe, and I'm coming after you." It then shrugged its shoulders and made this shrilly howl, scoffing noise as if to mock me. I turned around and I heard it open the door and leave. As the door closed, I was able to feel my body, and the light from outside began to fill the room. I had forgotten that there was also a palm tree in my apartment, and that we had wrapped it in Christmas lights that were always on. The lights on the tree got really bright. As the room brightened, my girlfriend stirred and said, "Why did the room get so bright?" This is one more. There's one more section to the story that takes place a few years ago, right here in Pittsburgh, that ties to these stories, but it's now past 2 a.m. and I should get some sleep. Thanks for the great show, Jesse. Another creepy figure wandering in, and it's almost like the dream state played quite a role in this as well, where they kept thinking they were awake, from what I'm understanding, and getting up and doing something, and then, boom, they're just kind of back into that original state of the dream.
Yeah, it almost seemed like the story continually was in this dream state, and that's when the entities would come, you know, to try and get him. But, you know, again, right away, top hat, right? Top hat on the first figure. And I'm sitting there thinking, this thing sounds like a Babadook to me.
What is a Babadook?
Have you ever seen the movie Babadook?
No, but I think I had one at the Wisconsin State Fair. It was next to the cream puffs, right? I think it's a brat that's covered in a hamburger, that's covered in a taco, and then it's covered in a pizza, and then it's loaded with ranch, right? And deep fried.
Have you had your cholesterol checked at all? Because that's bad. No, Babadook is like some kind of weird kind of dream figure like this. And it's usually a tall, slender figure wearing a top hat. And they kind of come out of the shadows. And you don't see them, but you kind of see them. And then all of a sudden they're gone. And you should watch that movie. It's kind of freaky.
No, I never. Yeah, what's it? Is the movie called Babadook? What's it called?
Yeah, it's called The Babadook. Yeah.
The Babadook. Interest? Is it like old? Is it new? Is it kind of like a Netflixy one?
10, 15 years, something like that.
Okay. Wow, I'd never heard that term before. I learned something new. Babadook. It was a song from ABBA is what that was. Babadook.
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 You're always wearing a top hat.
Yeah. Babadook. Yeah. Yep, that's what it was. That's what. Got a caller. Hi.
Hi, Brewskies. My name is Danny. I'm calling you from rainy Washington State, and I love your show. I've been listening to it for a while now, and I've been meaning to call in because I have so many stories I'd like to share, but unfortunately I don't have that much time in my day, so this is the one free time I have where I can call in and share with you one of my stories. This is the very first paranormal experience I ever remember having, and it is with the ghost who is in my mother's house. So to preface this story, I am in Washington State now, but I actually grew up in a small town in Wisconsin. And the house that I grew up in, my mother's house, is maybe 3 or 4 blocks away from a cemetery. So our neighborhood is very active. A lot of houses have experienced paranormal activity, and the house I grew up in, my mother's house, is no exception. So at the time of this story, I'm sorry, I should probably add, I totally forgot. My mom's house was built in the late 1800s, around 1890, and at one point there was a family living there, and the father and husband of that family was named John Jortland. And I'm assuming that Mr. Jortland was a very kind person in his life, because he's always been a very kind presence in our house, very welcome presence in our house in his afterlife. He passed away in what is now my mother's office. He died of a heart attack. And at the time of the story, my mother's office was actually her bedroom. So I must have been about 7 or 8. We had already had experiences with Mr. Jortland, which allowed us to attribute it to him. And it was at night. I was about 7. And my mom was in her bedroom, and her room had these two large double doors that led into the room that I shared with my two older sisters, and then my two older brothers were just down the hall. On this particular night, I was laying in the bottom bunk of my bed, and I was on my side facing the wall opposite of the double doors leading into my mother's room, which were closed at that time. I was really uncomfortable. I couldn't get to sleep, so I decided to roll over to try to get into a more comfortable position so I could get some sleep. And as I'm rolling over to face the double doors to my mom's room, I, for whatever reason, decided to open my eyes. And as I did, I looked directly into the corner, the far right corner of my bedroom, where I saw this perfectly round white mist hovering about 6 feet off of the floor. And at first I was just mildly curious as to what it was, but as I'm watching it, it begins forming a head, and then it forms a neck and shoulders and arms and a torso. and I realize what's happening, and I was terrified. I remember very distinctly my breath catching in my throat. I was trying to scream. I was so scared. And then all of a sudden, it just hit me. It's just Mr. Jortland. It's just Mr. Jortland standing in the corner of the room, coming in to check on us to make sure we're all right. And that's all it was. And I laid down, I closed my eyes, and I went back to sleep. There was no danger. He's never, never dangerous. Another story, another Mr. Jortland story I love, was a few years after that. I was probably 11 or 12, and at this time I was sharing the same room with just one of my sisters. And we were listening to a radio station, some pop station, and we're listening to the radio, and all of a sudden it shoots over to a big band station. And we're confused and kind of like, what the hell? So we switch it back over to our station, and we get a few seconds of music, and then once again, it goes right back to the big band station. So we did this little dance back and forth, switching to our station and then going back to the big band and back and forth. And finally, we just said, Mr. Jortland, knock it off. We want to listen to our music. And we flipped it back to our station, and then that's where it stayed. Like I said, Mr. Jortland's always been a very welcome presence in our house. As I mentioned, he passed away in my mom's room, but he also is actually buried in the cemetery down the street from our house. So we'll go visit his gravesite and bring him flowers. And we've always coexisted together for as long as I can remember. I actually have more stories of him saving the lives of two of my older siblings, but those were a little bit before my time. They're more my mother's stories than mine. But when I get a chance, I'll call in and tell you those ones. It's not really a scary story, obviously, but a paranormal story nonetheless. So you guys have a great rest of your day and keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. I was waiting for it to get weird where it's like, and we really liked him, and then things started going missing. Things that we can't speak of. Like, right. What's Mr. Jortland doing?
I think the scariest part of the whole story, first of all, let me compliment her for having just a great speaking and storytelling voice.
Yeah.
But also for the fact of trying to coexist with this entity, this energy. I think that's wonderful. If you can do that, it just, the connection between your life and somebody else's is very, very cool. But it was creepy. You know, if you ever had a bed against a wall and you're sleeping facing the wall, you always have that feeling that something's coming up behind you.
Mm-hmm.
I hated that. I could never have my bed against a wall because that would freak me out.
Yeah. I was amazed at how easy she was feeling about, like, wait a second, I realize it's nothing bad. It's just Mr. Jortland. And I went back to sleep. Even if I was like, oh my God, it's Mr. Jortland. He was the nicest guy in the world. What the fuck is he doing here? You know, like, it still wouldn't be comforting. I still wouldn't be like, oh, okay, roll over, go back to bed. But, you know, I guess, you know, to each their own. And if you can find that sort of comfort in Mr. Jortland, then more power to you.
Yep, I agree.
855-853-4802 is our number. Let's do one more call. Hi.
This is Alicia from Ohio. And I just recently came across your podcast, and now I'm hooked, and decided I'd call in and share an experience that I had a few years ago. So I am an early childhood educator, and a few years back, I worked in an infant room in the Columbus area. And the way our room was set up, we had a kitchen, like, area, and then a half wall that went into the classroom. So one day, it was at the end of the day, I was cleaning up, putting toys away, and I was mopping the kitchen floor when one of my toys start going off. And I look over at the shelf, and I'm like, oh, well, that's annoying. Well, maybe it's just that the batteries are, the batteries are getting old and there's a short in it. So I just kind of ignore it, and I keep cleaning up the area, and it starts to go off again. So I stopped what I was doing. I grabbed a screwdriver, picked up the toy, undid the little door that, holds the batteries, and lo and behold, there are no batteries. I know that this is the toy that was actually going off because it's one of those toys where you push a button and this little star would pop up and it would make a certain sound, a very distinct sound. And that's what I had been hearing. Of course, seeing that this toy had no batteries and had been going off while I was in the kitchen cleaning, I freaked out. I ran out of the room. There weren't any kids in there at the time. And I ran over to the classroom next to me and told the teacher what had happened. And she just kind of smiled and nodded her head and said, "I'm not surprised that you had something like that happen." And I asked her, "Well, why is that?" And she told me that a few years earlier, she had been in the room and it was nap time and the kids were sleeping. And they had this toy. It was this little bear, and you would poke the bear and it would move back and forth and play a song. She said she was sitting there in the rocking chair reading a book, and all of a sudden she hears the bear go off. So she looks over, and sure enough, the bear is rocking back and forth and playing that song. So that was really scary. That toy did not make it past that night. I threw it away. I don't recall ever having any other issues there. I mean, our room always felt cold, but that could just be, you know, something with the AC. I know that there's a lot of spots around the Columbus area that they've done excavations in and found Indian burial sites. I'm not saying that that is what happened or that that's what caused it, but it's just very interesting, and I've never had anything like that happen again. So anyways, thank you so much for what you guys do. Thank you for the podcast. It's nice to know that you know, there are other people out there that have had experiences similar to mine, and I really appreciate it. So I hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and I hope to hear this on the air. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for sharing your experience with us. Thoughts?
Very glad that she decided to throw that thing out that night and never play with it again. But how do these things go off without batteries? I want to know.
I think sometimes they can hold a bit of a charge, but to continually go off over and over and over, that you can't really explain, you know?
It's got to be ghosts. It's got to be hauntings. Something, it's got to be something spooky.
Yeah, I mean, something is giving it energy. And so what that is, I don't know. It's creepy, especially when it's something that speaks and it's a toy and it just shouldn't be.
Yeah. Those are creepy anyway, like talking dolls and stuff. Don't make those anymore, toy companies. Get rid of them.
Yeah, I know. They should just be banned completely and just burn them all, you know, in the parking lots. We have a big thing. It's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. We greatly appreciate that support. Until next time, for Todd and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.